Welcome to the My Ministry Mission podcast, where faith's transformative power comes to life. Be sure to check out this episode's show notes. And if you enjoy this topic, head on over to myministrymission.com to find out how to join our community or even become a guest. God has placed a calling to ministry in my heart, and I'm answering that call. My name is Jason, and this is my mission. Thank you for listening and welcome to the podcast. I am your host, Jason McConnell. Today on My Ministry Mission, I am honored to welcome Felicia Hurd Johnson, a servant leader, speaker, author, wife, and mom whose life beautifully reflects the truth that God wastes absolutely nothing, not even our broken pieces. Felicia is the author of Count It All Joy, including The Broken Pieces, How My Trials Help Me Trust God More, a powerful testimony rooted in James 1 verses 2 through 4. And through seasons of breast cancer, job loss, job gain, marriage and divorce, and recently remarried, even moments of disobedience and obedience, Felicia has experienced the faithfulness of God in deeply personal ways. Rather than allowing trials to make her bitter, God shaped them to make her better, and her story is one of resilience, trust, and enduring joy in Christ. I encourage you to visit FeliciaHurd.com to learn more about her ministry and her work. Be sure to check out the show notes for direct links to her website, her book, and her social media. Felicia's heart for the Lord is evident not only in her story, but in her service, mentoring others, leading life groups, supporting ministries, and speaking biblical wisdom into everyday life. Today, we're going to talk about what it really means to count it all joy, how God meets us in suffering, and how trusting Him in the broken places can transform everything. So welcome, Felicia. I am truly grateful that you are here with me today.
Hello, Jason. I'm glad to be here, too. Thank you so much for having me. I've been looking forward to this.
Oh, me too. We kind of jumped the gun a little bit. I got a little, my wires crossed, but you were gracious enough to go, nope, I'll follow the process. So I appreciate that. It shows a lot of integrity. Yeah. I feel like there's overlaps between your life and mine. I mean, I believe I mentioned that I lost my sister to cancer in June of last year. And I feel much closer to this topic than I'd really care to admit. You survived cancer yourself, so I just feel like this was like a divine appointment, not just for the listeners, but for me as well. So I truly, truly want to thank you for giving us the gift of your time.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. Thank your listeners.
Absolutely. So let's get started with your favorite Bible verse, which is the inspiration for your book. James 1, verse 2 through 4. Goes, count it all joy, my brothers, when you face trials of various kinds. For you know the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let that steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. That's a lot. So how does that verse connect with you?
That connects with James was writing to believers after Christ had died, and just reminding them of the trials that they're going through. It's like, we don't want to lose what Jesus had already taught us. And actually the trials, you can use those, use them as an accounting term. It's like, while they're trials, they can also add value to your life. So that's how I hang my hat and use that. It's like, even though they're trials, God's going to get something out of it. Nothing is wasted in God's economy. So I just truly believe that, because I often wondered early on to say, how do you count it all joy when, you know, the sky is falling, you know, you have issues at home, issues at work. It's like, and that's why I made it include in the broken pieces. I didn't want it to be just count it all joy, because everything is not all joy. And in the moment, I have normal reactions, just like everybody else. You know, if there's tragedy, I do, you know, feel hurt or broken, but I don't stay there. But, you know, just like normal people, that's my initial reaction when I was diagnosed with breast cancer. I thought, I'm going to die. You know, this is it. And then I thought, well, if I stay here, I'm going to be with God. And if I die, I'm going to be with God. So it's like, okay, He's got me. So just taking the time to really understand the words. But it took me a moment to actually believe the words on the page in the Bible that God had left for us. So and that was early on as a Christian and as a a believer, but as I've become a little bit more mature in age and in my walk with Christ, I understand the Bible a little bit better, and I take all the words to heart. And even if I don't understand it, I'll meditate on the words to get an understanding, because He wants us to know what He wants us to know.
It's not to leave
us in the dark. So it just takes time and patience to actually understand parts of the Bible that we don't understand. And we take the time to understand other things in life with less value. And so the Bible is much more valuable than anything that we have. So by taking that time and investing in ourselves, we're prepared and equipped when crisis does come, or crisis in somebody else's life comes along, you're able to offer a kind word or a scripture or something on your heart that God has given you to give that person. So you're making deposits into yourself. So that's what I equate this to. It's like I'm making deposits into myself, trusting God no matter what, however dark it looks. I have my normal emotions, and I, you know, share with God my crazy laments, if you will, but I'm true and honest with Him. He can take it. And so I trust that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, when you are frustrated, when you're angry, when you're feeling even betrayed by God, when you get that bad news, when a family member gets that bad news, you can still have those feelings and move towards God. Because if you take those feelings, if you take that towards Him, you're still moving to Him. You can be like, God, I'm really angry at you right now, but here you go. You know, you can still seek answers on it. And you're right. He can handle it. He's a big boy.
and I like it too, Jason, to, you know, a parent-child relationship, which it is, actually. It's like, you know, your children, your daughter, you know, if she's going through something, you're there for her with open arms. While it hurts her, she knows that you're there with her. Yeah. You know, so it's like, Daddy's here. So she's in the comfort of your arms and your presence, and that, you know, makes it better knowing that you're not alone.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. So for those meeting you for the first time, how would you describe yourself beyond titles? Who is Felicia at her core?
At the core, I haven't always been this way, Jason, but over, because I was an angry, bitter person early on, and I was a woe is me kind of person, but developing a strong working relationship, honest relationship with God transformed me to where I am now. So now I would say that I'm a friend that I would want to have. So I am compassionate. I'm there for people. I hear what people aren't saying sometimes. And so I just am somebody that you can count on. I'm dependable. I'm reliable. I care about individuals and their families. And it's more than a transactional relationship. If we're friends, we're friends. And so I was talking to my daughter, actually, about your daughter earlier, because I feel we're friends. I feel like we're friends. And so it's like, it's not a, I invest in people because we all have something to offer. And oftentimes people may not recognize what their value is or what they have to offer. So I'm an encourager as well, to encourage people to follow their dreams or whatever is on their heart. I was telling my daughter today, she's has some goals that she's working on. And I said, just do it, babe. Just swing for the fences. Just do it. You know, just take the limits. Take the limits off. So that's at the core. I care, and I'm an encourager, if you will.
Yep. What an insightful question to ask yourself. Am I a friend that I would want to have? That is brilliant. I love that.
Yeah. Because, you know, even in environments, if the environment is not what you want it to be, it's like, well, make the change, you know, create the environment that you want. So we don't have to be subject to a lot of negativity or issues or being held back. It's like we are dynamic human beings that can do basically anything that we put our minds to.
Absolutely. And you wear many hats, like servant leader, author, speaker, mom. Which role do you think God has been using to shape you most in this season?
I think as a servant leader, I really enjoy working in ministry. My husband and daughter and I were at a new church once you announced in the beginning that recently remarried. So we both left our previous churches and we found a church together that we're worshiping at. And so I enjoy working with the leaders there and the women. I just enjoy people and helping and giving of myself. It's like I get so much out of it. I get more out of it than I think I put in because I enjoy helping people that can't help me. And so it's like I'm not looking for anything other than to show the love of Christ to people. So I think being the servant leader, but also having fun being an author and having opportunities to speak with folks like you, Jason, and others. So it's like I enjoy that because by nature I am an introvert, but this has given me the opportunity to get out of my comfort zone. And I was telling my daughter earlier, it's like we don't grow in our comfort zone.
Yes.
And so we have to get out and do some things that are a little bit uncomfortable. And so while you've made this very comfortable for me, I appreciate that.
Of course.
So while I'm out of my comfort zone, I'm a little bit in my comfort zone because I'm talking to my friend Jason.
Right on. I love it. I love it. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And I mean, that's the hardest part about being a parent is that if you do your job well, you end up by yourself. You know, you end up without your kid because they're out doing their own thing. They're, you've taught them to be able to be independent. Yeah. And if God doesn't mean you're not going to see them again, but still, they don't need you as much. And that,
right.
That's what you want. But it's like, man, that hurts.
Yeah. We've got to grow. We've got to let them go. We want them to grow. And then when it's time for them to grow and leave the nest, it's like, oh, do they really have to grow?
Right.
Yeah.
So you grew up in Texas. Was faith always like a central part of your life, or was there kind of a defining moment where that God relationship became personal?
I've always had, always attended church here, had set under some really strong teaching and preaching, really good foundation. While I didn't always follow the teaching and preaching, I knew that it was sound and biblical. And as I became older, in life and again, maturing in my faith, I think that it turned like when when my daughter was born, because I wanted to be a better mom. I wanted to be a better wife. I wanted to be a better person. And I knew that I could not do that by myself. And I knew that I needed God to help me with that. So that's when I started to lean in onto Him even more. And so I prayed for her. And when she came, it's like, I will give her back to you, God. When I have a baby, I will commit her back to you. And so even before we had the ceremony, I committed her back to God in my heart. And I just whispered the words into her ear.
I love that.
She's a baby, yeah.
So what is something fun about you that people would never know just by reading your bio?
Something fun. Okay, so a few years ago, I had an opportunity to go on a cruise. And so, you know how it was on Royal Caribbean, I think it was. And they have the surfing at the back of the ship.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm in line with a bunch of 12 and 13-year-old boys. And so I surf in the Caribbean on a ship. And it's like, I said, I will never see these people again. So I had the best time. So my daughter was sitting with the parents watching me surf on the in the Caribbean, so that's something fun that people probably wouldn't think that I would do, but I had a good time with that.
I love that story. So this is digging back a few years. So there used to be a place called Evermore in Pleasant Grove, Utah. It closed down a couple of years ago, I think. But when we were able to go visit it while it was being built, it was just a wild hair. You know, I'm like, hey, I'm going to be in Utah. We'd love to come visit. And they're like, yeah, sure. Come on over. So my daughter and I went and visited it. It was kind of sponsored by Ken Burt Schneider, who was an actor producer. And we got the whole tour. And as we were walking out, we ran into him and he asked, well, what do you think? And I'm like, it's wonderful. I love it. I'm a big nerd, big fantasy geek. It's just this real immersive fantasy theme park they were building. And I'm like, it's, we love the idea of it. And he goes, good. He goes, grown-ups need a place to play too. And that always stuck with me. It's like, you're right. Grown-ups need to play too.
So I don't have to stand in line with 12 and 13-year-old boys. There's a place for me.
Yeah, well, fortunately they close, but yeah, just got to go out and play once in a while. Just who cares what people think, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So that was fun. I had a really good time with that.
Right on. So you've been honest about your seasons of obedience, your struggles, mm-hmm. your growth, your disobedience. I mean, you're a very honest person. I love that. And that kind of leads us right into the heart of what I think is today's theme, that scripture mm-hmm. gives us this challenging command in James 1 to count mm-hmm. it all joy. And we've touched on that a little bit. But for many believers, that sounds easier preached than practiced. I think there's a lot of stuff in the Bible like that. Yes. So let's talk about how that passage moved from being words on a page to a lived reality in your life. You know, when we face trials, and it's not if, it's when does that verse first become real to you? Was it with the diagnosis? Was it after? You know, how did that kind of just cement itself in your heart?
Yeah, with the diagnosis of the breast cancer is when it really cemented, because I just knew it was over, and it's like, but we're supposed to count it all joy. How do we do that? So it was just over time that I had to really digest that verse and then truly understand what it meant, but just taking it one day at a time. So it wasn't something that was overnight. It wasn't even over a year. It took some time to actually truly be comfortable with this verse and allowing this to be my anchor verse. And I wanted to, you know, talk about the broken pieces, because I didn't want it to appear it was all Pollyanna, pie in the sky. It's like, oh, count it all joy. Right. And it's like, yeah, that's true, but there are some trials that goes with that. And so we learn from those trials. And one of my previous ministers used to say that we go through trials and they're not always for us. And I would say, you know, under my breath, but people need to go through their own trials. I don't want to go through a trial for somebody else.
Yeah, right. Leave me alone.
Let them go through their own trials. But with that said, as I've gone through the breast cancer trial and others, I've been able to work with other women and talk with other women and friends of friends that have gone through it and, you know, speaking with you. So it's not wasted. Our trials are not wasted. So I just have to take it, you know, one trial, you know, at a time, and just trust God, because things are temporary, and He knows what we need when we need, and He knows who needs what. And so again, that's going back to the parent-child relation. I just have to trust Him. I just have to truly trust, and I have to hang my hat on trusting God.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of Christians conflate the idea of joy versus happiness, especially when it comes to suffering. You know, how can you be happy in suffering? Well, you're not supposed to. You're supposed to be joyful. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what for you, what does joy look like when you're in the valleys?
It's still being able to hold my head up. It's still being able to pray. It's still being able to have a conversation with God. And it also, it's like, I don't look like what I'm going through. So I have the joy on the inside. So it's like, yeah, these are emotions that I'm going through. I'm going through a divorce. And I just got on my knees and I prayed and I screamed to God. It's like, this is not fair, but you're going to get the glory out of this. And I couldn't believe I was saying that at the time. But it's like, I have to trust the words that or in the Bible. I can't not trust. There are some things I don't understand, but I have to trust what I know, and knowing that we will face trials of various kinds, it's like, that's a long list. So being, and sometimes it's a long list within the same week and the same month, but I don't respond to challenges as I once did, because it's like, okay, God's got this. God's got this. I just have to remind myself of that. But it's the joy on the inside. Another thing Jason and I do, it's like over the years, I've done like some fasting, in praying. Our church was going through a fast one time, and so I did the 21-day Daniel fast and modifying what I was eating and drinking and watching. And so my diet changed from that. And this was probably about 15 years ago. I took meat out of my diet. And so I tried to go back to meat, and I kept getting sick. And I've tried to go back like 3 or 4 times, and I just finally gave up. So internally, I feel well. And so that is a good thing. And then I watch what I'm listening to and what I'm hearing, what I'm watching, and what I'm hearing. So my intake, my eye gates and my ears, I am protective of that. So I don't watch a lot of secular television shows because they don't line up with my values. I'm not a prude or anything. I know that things are out there, but I just choose to or not to watch certain things or listen to certain things. So as a result, I don't have, and even with the news, I monitor my news intake. I'm informed. I stay informed, but I don't consume it. I don't consume too much of it, right?
Yeah.
Because that can impact your emotion. I enjoy walking. So I just try to take care of my physical self, my mental self, and that helps me to maintain the joy that I have. So it's a total package. So taking care of my emotional and my physical being has also helped me with my joy, because I enjoy walking. I take off on a walk and I go and I'm talking with God. Sometimes I'm crying, sometimes I'm singing, I'm just over. Sometimes it's, you know, tears of joy because I'm thankful because I feel good even when things are not going quite as well.
Yeah, and it's discernment. I mean, you know, if you want to watch the shows, watch the shows. You know, if you don't, you're not going to judge either way. But I think that's wonderful that you're tuned into that and you know that that contributes to your joy. So looking back, I'm sure you can see, you know, maybe not in the moment, but when you look backwards on things, you can see how God was forming your faith in ways a more comfortable life never could.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
I do, because if I had not stayed in his word and stayed in community, which is another thing that helps being around other believers as I was going through trials, because as I was going through my trials, people had already gone through that. So I was able to, you know, talk with women that have gone through breast cancer, talk with women that have lost jobs or gone through a divorce. So I'm able to pay it back, if you will, or pay it forward as with the trials that I've gone through. So I think that's been really beneficial.
Yep, absolutely. And you know, when we talk about joy in trials, I think it's important to remember that this isn't, I mean, for you, it definitely is not theoretical. It's forged in real pain, real loss, real uncertainty, and you've walked through some incredibly difficult seasons, and I definitely want to honor that by giving you plenty of space to talk about how God met you in those trials. So I just want to, you know, circle back at, you know, breast cancer, divorce, career transitions. Yeah. Do you think there's a trial that had a greater impact on how you see God, how your prayer life changed, all of that? Or is it kind of across the board, it just built on each other?
I think all of them had an impact. But I think as I was going through the divorce, I think that was because I was angry with my husband at the time, as well as with God, if I'm being honest with you. It's like I did everything I was supposed to do, you know, right, as a wife. It's like, this is not how it's supposed to turn out. And then I realized in that moment, it's like, you sound like you're having a contractual relationship with God in this area of your life. So it's like, I do this and you do that. And it's like, that's not how the relationship with God is supposed to work. It's like it's a relationship regardless of what you're going through, whether he does anything that you can see or not, because a lot of times, as you know, he's doing things for us that we don't even see or know about. So going through the divorce and realizing that God would get the glory from this. But it was painful. But I would say, Jason, that leading up to that, I shared earlier that I was fasting and praying, and there was a point where my husband at the time made a comment, and I responded in kind, and he's like, "Oh, your countenance has changed." And I said, "It's all God." So I was thankful that, and I generally did respond in kind. I was feeling good on the inside. So what was in me, that's what came out. And so I was glad that he saw that difference. And I was thankful that I was able to give God the glory for that. So it's like, it's okay. But it's hard, you know, when you're going through trials, when you have a loss. When I was going through difficulties at work, my manager even noticed a difference in how I was responding. And when I lost my job and they brought me into the office to, you know, say that we're going to end the relationship, and I just said, "Thank you." I said, "Thank you," because I knew that God had me. And so from that, I wasn't to receive anything, but fortunately, I was able to receive a package. And that was all God, because it was not expected at all. I was just expecting to walk out with my cup and my plate.
Right, your
and that's cup. It. I had no expectation. So I was able to take off a year and spend time with my family that I wouldn't have done otherwise, because I was working crazy hours. And so I learned that I will never put a job before God and my family again, because that's what I was doing. If I'm being honest with you, I was spending more time in the office and at work rather than learning about scripture. So those trials sent me or drew me to God and to his word to help me to get to where I am now. So I'm a quick study, if you will. So,
you run into a wall, you learn not to do it again, right?
Absolutely. It's like, don't keep going that way. So those, you know, those trials sent me to his word. And so I wanted to, and I'm much better now. It's like, I don't want to wait until there's a crisis to run to his word. So I find myself in his word, of course, daily, in my daily devotion and at night, and, you know, praying and going to bed. But just a casual, you know, I listen to a Christian podcast. And so I listen to, you know, other things that can help enrich me in understanding his word. So I use my time differently, if you will. I use my time differently and more wisely. We're investing in myself. And then I have, with that said, I'm able to share with others. So I'm in community, and I hear what others are going through or what their goals and ambitions are. It's like, if I hear a podcast or something I think that would add value, I share that with them. And I say, you know, just add this to your enrichment list. And so I'll get a, you know, text back periodically. Oh, that was good. That's just what I needed, you know? And so I enjoy being able to do that and encourage people to, you know, continue to pursue their goals and dreams.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. So one more quick question, then I kind of want to move into your book. We are very impatient and little mortals here on earth, and we face moments where God's answers just don't come quickly enough for us. And, you know, you do a lot of work, probably discipling, mentoring people. How do you mentor somebody through that quiet period where God may be working in the background, maybe building character, maybe setting something up? You know, how do you get somebody through that?
What I usually do is just talk with them, and I do a lot more listening than I do talking, because I tell them what my experience has been. I don't tell them, if I was you, I would do this. If I were you, I would do that. I don't give that type of direction. So I just plant the seed and pray to God to help them through their season. So there are some, while I'm mentoring people, there are some silent moments there, because they don't need to hear my voice. I know they need to hear God's voice. So I will say what God has placed on my heart to say, but I'm very careful with that because I don't want people to depend on me or see me as the Savior. I need to point them to the Savior. So that's what I do.
I love it. So let's talk about how God turned all of your personal challenges into a message to strengthen the faith of others. You know, when did you finally decide it's time to write this book?
So I had wanted to write a book, Jason, for some years now. But as I shared with you earlier, it's like I was somewhat of a workaholic and I was doing a lot of work. But I was journaling because as I was going through my challenges, I was just keeping a journal to help keep my mind clear. And so when the pandemic hit, it's like God had set us down for a reason. And so the first few days I thought, well, okay, we'll be out of this in a minute. We'll be out of this in a minute. And then it's like it never came. Like,
right.
Oh, okay. We're going to be here for a minute. And so I gathered all of my my journals and I just started putting it all together in writing. And so I just put everything in there. Unedited, if you will. And so after I got all of my thoughts and notes on paper, then I went back and did an edit myself. And the goals were, or the criteria, does it glorify God and does it add value? Because as you've gone through challenges, there are some people and circumstances and things that are in those trials. You're not always in them by yourself. Right. And it's not a tell-all book, and I didn't want to name names, and it's like it was not that. Does it glorify God and does it add value? And so that was the criteria. So I went through and did a cleanup of that. So it felt good actually to get it all out. It was very cathartic to get everything out on paper, and it's like, I can breathe. I said it. And so going through and then cleaning up and then getting professionals involved to do editing and getting it prepared. But that's, I just needed to, I wanted to come out of the pandemic doing something to glorify God. And I knew we would eventually come out. I didn't know when, but I knew that God knew when. And so he had placed it on my heart really heavy. So I just got busy and just started writing.
That's amazing. Is there any chapter that was more difficult than others to write?
The most difficult one was probably, that's a good question. Probably the breast cancer one was probably the most challenging one to write. It was probably the most challenging one. And then I had shared that before I published, I shared that chapter with at a women's breakfast doing.
Really?
Yes. And so, there were women that came up to me after that and wanted to know, it's like, can I have your notes? And I was like, these are just my talking points. And so that also, it's like, okay, this is something that could, potentially turn into a book or something. But yeah, writing that part was, because you don't know, you just, illnesses, you don't know, and so you've gotta trust. And it's like, I don't want to just say the words I'm trusting and not trust. It's like I needed to be honest with myself. I needed to be honest with God, and it's people were walking with me. And then I heard one lady share with me. She's like, "You're an inspiration," and it's like that was the farthest thing from my mind. I didn't see myself as inspiring. I was sharing to help heal and remove any shame or stigma associated, with that. Yeah.
I love that. And you look at the early church, the apostles, all through the book of Acts. Every time something crazy happens, every time something miraculous happens, even some of the mundane things, they always point back to God. It's not me, it's God. And, you truly are an inspiration, but you are because you trust God and you point other people that direction. And I think that's one of the more inspiring traits, because God will get us through trials, but having the discernment to go, this wasn't me, it was God, that's where it's truly amazing, I think. So kudos to that. So if someone were to read your book, what is the one thing you absolutely want them to walk away from the book knowing?
I want them to know that they can trust God no matter what. I can't move away from that. It's like you have to trust Him. You have to have a relationship with Him. And the relationship is an investment, like any good relationship so that you want to have. You have to have that. And He wants it with us. He wants us to have a relationship with Him. So I think accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior and having a relationship with Him, it's more valuable than you know.
But absolutely.
It's baby steps, but it could be giant steps if God wants it to. For me, it was baby steps, but I have not arrived. I want people to know that I have not arrived. I am still growing in Christ. There's still more for me to learn. There's still more for me to do. And so I am thankful to Him for that.
Yeah, it's a lifelong pursuit. It's one great part about it is you'll never get bored. You'll never run out of things to ask and stuff to learn.
This is so true. Yes, this is true.
So I love that. Is there anything else you want to mention about your book that we haven't talked about already? Anything you want to throw in there?
Yeah, there is. So in the book, after each chapter, I have, because it can be used in a Bible study group. So after each chapter, I have growth and reflection questions. So
it's
like, as I speak with people, I don't want to just, speak and then walk away. It's like, we need to be challenged. We spend, 30 minutes or 40 minutes at a conference or a seminar or, a podcast. It's like, what's the challenge? So it's like, how can you count it all joy, including your broken pieces? It's like, so after each chapter, there's an opportunity to reflect on what's read. And the way that the book is written, Jason, it's while it's my testimony, but feedback that I've received, it's like people see themselves in the book, and I'm thankful for that. It's not written in such a way that it's all about me. It's my testimony and how God moved in my life. And so people are able to see themselves and see God moving, or say, oh, God can move in my life the way that He moved in Felicia's. It may be a little bit different, but it is possible. So yeah, I enjoyed putting those growth and reflection questions in the back of after each chapter.
Fabulous. It's good to know. I like that.
Yeah.
So one more quick question, and I think we can probably wrap it up. How can the church better support people walking through long-term suffering, through cancer, through divorce, through career transitions that are painful, through things like that?
I think you can do that through life groups and just being in community. And two, if your church doesn't have that, maybe you are the one that needs to recommend it. So if there's something in your church that is not readily available that's meeting your needs, I'd say respectfully, see if that's something that you can initiate with the support of maybe two of the leaders within the church. But I think for me, Jason, it's being in community with the different women in the church and the leaders, and they've identified that I have gone through things, and I'm able to, add value and speak truth and transparency and honesty to people. I've been referred. It's like, well, can you talk with this person or can you talk with that person? So somebody that is going through trials in their church don't offer that. Maybe that's something that they can initiate, because maybe the church doesn't realize that they need it, or they may not know that people want it, And so a lot of time, groups and organizations are formed at grassroots when there is a need that somebody's identified that's not being met for them, and so they propose it.
Yep, it's so funny you mentioned that, because I lead a dad's ministry at my church. And it all started because I went to the pastor and I'm like, hey, we don't have a father's ministry, like something dedicated just to dads. We should have something like that. And he's like, that's a great idea. When are you starting it? I'm like, wait, what?
Be careful what you ask for, Jason.
So, and I still have it today. I've got some great fathers in there. And it's just been a blessing. It's a blessing all around. So I'm glad.
Absolutely.
I said something. I'm glad I was pushed to start it. But that's how it works.
And then, too, what, you know, you start and there are other people so it could branch off as well, you know, and you're not, while you may have started it, like I started some groups, but I wasn't the only facilitator in the group. So it was shared responsibility. So I wasn't doing the heavy lifting by myself.
Yeah, I'm still doing that.
It was very odd, but there were people.
Maybe when it gets bigger.
Yeah.
But no, it's good. It is a good thing. For the church, it's a good thing for me, for my dads, and we always, you know, it's always goes back to God. I mean, that's my answer to anyone who's like, well, my church doesn't have whatever. Maybe you need to start it.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Felicia, as we wrap things up, I want to kind of zoom out for a moment, look back over your journey. I mean, the broken pieces, the healing, the growth, there's wisdom that only comes from walking with God through the fire. And I would like to give you the final word to encourage anyone listening who may be on a similar road. Just your final thoughts before we wrap things up.
Okay, thank you. So I would say in closing, it's like there are going to be trials and they are not going to be joyful. You will not experience joy as you're faced with a challenge. So being realistic, but knowing that you will get through those trials. But you'll get through those trials with God and just pray that God will also provide you with community to walk with you as you go through those trials, that you're not doing it by yourself. And then identify an anchor scripture for yourself that you can hang on to and just meditate on God's word. And monitor your intake as far as your food. Be mindful of your physical and your mental state as you're going through challenges. So maybe monitor what you're watching, what you're hearing, and what your intake is, and get along with God for as long as you can to spend time with Him, at least, you know, 20 or 30 minutes in the morning or the afternoon or whatever works for you. But spending time with God is key, and reading His Word and getting your anchor scripture, you too can have joy, and you'll be able to count your broken pieces, and you'll be able to share your trials and challenges and successes that God has brought you through with others.
It's amazing. All right, be sure to visit FeliciaHurd.com to learn more about her. The link to her website is in the show notes, along with information about her book and social media. Felicia, thank you so much for having this conversation with me and sharing your wisdom with all of us. You truly are remarkable, and God is doing wonderful things through you, so thank you for that.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you so much.
God bless you, Felicia.
You too.
For my amazing listeners, until next time, keep loving your neighbors, dive into God's Word daily. May the Lord bless you and keep you and fill you with His peace. Take care, God bless, and I'll see you in the next episode. You've been listening to the My Ministry Mission podcast, hosted by me, Jason McConnell. If today's episode spoke to you, I'd love for you to like, follow, or subscribe me on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss what's next. Be sure to check out this episode's show notes for links and resources from today's conversation. And my prayer for you is this: keep walking with Christ, trusting His plan, and living out the mission God has placed in your heart.